Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 7, beginning at the 18th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, over the years, there are things that stick with you. I can remember very clearly hearing the words of today's gospel lesson as a child sitting in church. And Jesus said, "I say to you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist, but the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than him." And I wondered, what was it that made John great? Because if I knew what made John great, then maybe I could do that too. Maybe I too could be great, just like Jesus said. And so I wondered. Maybe it was that John the Baptist followed God better than other people, or better than me. I liked reading about him, but I didn't like the idea of doing what he did, wearing scratchy clothes and eating grasshoppers. I didn't think I was ready to go there for the Lord. Maybe John trusted the Lord more than me, because all he did was talk about the Lord, and I'll be honest, I had a hard time talking about God. But I like to talk about baseball. And I liked playing it even more. John was kind of an impossible figure, a towering sort of figure. And it was discouraging because I just thought to myself, I could never be like him. I could never be great like him, not in God's eyes. And yet, there was something that I got to see that John didn't get to see. John met the Messiah, but he didn't get to see his work. And his work is the important thing. In that hour, today's lesson, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And Jesus answered John's disciples who had come to him. He said, "Go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard, that the blind receive their sight and the lame walk and lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them." John didn't get to see any of that. He had to hear about it through others. And not only that, John did not see the Savior go to the cross as the sacrifice for sin. He didn't see our Lord Jesus raised from the dead as a testimony that the work is complete. He didn't get to see our Lord Jesus ascend into heaven. I mean, if you go to our preschool, you'll see even our little preschoolers know those things. They know the window there, Jesus died for them. They know the window there, Jesus was raised on the third day. They know the window over here, Jesus went up into heaven. Even the little kids know that. Luke chapter 10. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Then Jesus turned to his disciples and he said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets, like John the Baptist, many prophets and many kings desired to see what you see and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear and they did not hear it." Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, because your eyes see clearer things, and they see greater things, greater than John the Baptist ever did. Your eyes as a Christian person see clearer things. In what way? Well, I will tell you, and you know this from experience, that to see sin is a gift. To see everyone else's sin is a gift of nature. You were born that way. You were born with that. And you were born with 20/20 eyesight, 20/20 vision to see what it is that other people are doing wrong. You are like an eagle in the sky that can see more clearly somebody else's sin than anything else. But there is a peculiar blindness in the human race. Do you know what it is? You can see everybody else's sin, but what can't you see? You don't see your own. Exactly. You don't see your own. That's the one, and that's the one sin you need to see. Because if other people sin, that's before them and God. But what you do is before you and God. And that has been true of us from the get-go. Genesis chapter 3, the Lord said, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" There's only one answer to that question. The answer is yes. But the man said, "Well, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." The Lord turns to her, and the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate." You can see everybody else's sin except your own. To see everybody else's sin is a gift of nature, but to see your own is a gift of the Lord. It is a power and working of the Lord. It is a conviction from the Lord, and it is so necessary, because without that conviction, you can go to church every day of your life. You can go three times on Sunday, and after having done all of that, don't plan on going any place eternal, because you won't. Or the place eternal that you go to is the place that you don't want to go to. Because if you can't see your sin, then you can't see something greater, greater than your sin. You can't see your Savior. You just can't, and you never will. It's like the doctor. When do you go to the doctor? When you're sick. But you don't go to the doctor unless you're sick. And so with the Lord Jesus, there's no going to Jesus unless you're a sinner. And so be glad you know it. Be glad that you see them both, that you see the sin and that you see the Savior, because that's the sign of the Holy Spirit working in a person's heart. That is the chief work of the Holy Spirit, to bestow sight on the blind as our Lord Jesus did in his ministry, to give you clear sight, to give you greater sight. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. That's the best word you're ever going to hear. Now, today's lesson tells us that all the people, and the tax collectors too, because they're kind of the bottom of the barrel, all the people and the tax collectors heard that, and they justified God because they were baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. Now, it is hard to explain how startling that is if you read it in the original language, because it says something strange. It says the people justified God. Now, I don't know of any other instances. Actually, no, there is one. We'll get to it in just a moment. But other than those two, where God is talked about as being justified by people, every other instance, God justifies people. What does he do? He declares a sinner not guilty for Jesus' sake. What does he do? He declares you washed clean in the blood of his Son. He declares you righteous in his sight, because all he sees is Jesus' righteousness in place of your sin. But here it says the reverse. It says the people justified God. They declared him to be righteous. They declared him to be not guilty. They agreed with God about their guilt. They also agreed and affirmed that Jesus was the one sacrifice for their sin. Like the old hymn says, his blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And so it was in the Old Testament, the other place. Psalm 51, King David said, Lord, I know my transgressions. No pointing to somebody else. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be, and here it is, justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Lord, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. So purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What is it that you know? You know your sin. You know your Savior. And of course, that is God's will for everyone. It's his wish, it's his desire. He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth about you and the truth about him, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then we read these words, today's gospel. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law set aside the will of God for themselves. In other words, you had it right in front of you, and what do? I don't want to look at this now. I don't want to see this now. I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to set it aside. And what a sad note to end your life on. You had it. It was yours. God gave it to you, and you did what? You set it aside. And why? Well, if you're not sick, you don't go see the doctor. If you're not a sinner, you don't go to see the Savior. But the problem is, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, and you do need a Savior. You are a sinner, and there is no greater gift than you're ever going to get or need than your Lord Jesus and what he did for you. Even the little kids know that. Even the little kids know wrong and right. Even the little kids know Jesus died for me. Even the little kids know Jesus was raised on the third day. Even the little kids know he ascended into heaven. Even the little kids know he did it for me. And what do their parents teach them to say? Even they know to say what? Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.